my life as the wisest of all of mankind. But if God's holy wisdom is foolish to men, he must have seemed out of his mind. For even his family said he was mad, and the priest said a demon's to blame. But God in the form of this angry young man could not have seemed perfectly sane. We in our foolishness thought we were wise. He played the fool and he opened up.
Amen. 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 He is so worthy of our praise. And that's why we come to praise, praise our great God and our great Savior, Jesus Christ. We give him thanks. We give him praise. Our words often seem inadequate, but that's what he's given us. Given us our mouths, given us our hands, our feet, given us our whole selves to praise him and to worship him. And we are duty-bound to praise him. We just are. In Romans chapter 1, it says the reason people went astray and God gave them over to a reprobate mind is because they lost their minds. And the way they lost their minds was that they refused to acknowledge God and give glory to him. So whenever we refuse to praise God, honor him, and give glory to him, you know, we have lost our minds. So I pray that we won't lose our mind and that we'll think about God, give glory to him, give honor to him, because he's worthy of our praise. Amen? Amen. Won't you pray with me? Lord God, our great Savior, our soon coming King, we praise you, O Lord, our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We give you thanks for who you are, O Lord our God. We thank you for keeping us in our right minds. Lord, we're grateful that you are the one that woke us up this morning. Lord, we may have set an alarm clock, maybe not. We got up, but it was you who touched us, and you who enabled us to get up today, you who gave us our strength. Lord God, you who gave us the energy for the day, you, O God, who have kept us in our right mind. Lord, we're grateful for Christ, dear Father. We're grateful that you sent him to give his life in our place. We're grateful for his death and resurrection and all that that means in our lives. Lord, we thank you that because of him, we're able to give you praise. Lord, we praise you for the great thing that has happened in him and through him, that we have been given life and given life more abundantly. Lord, you've forgiven us of all our sins. You've enabled us to repent and accept your forgiveness and your love for us. Lord, you've enabled us to be called children of God, for that is what we are. We're thankful for that. You enabled us to serve you on this earth, Lord, and we praise you for that, Lord God. We thank you for all of the blessings that you've given us because of Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, we would be remiss if we did not give you thanks. So I pray that you would keep us in our right minds, that you would help us. We thank you that you're the God who intervenes in the lives of your children, that when you see us going off the deep end, Lord, when you see us losing our minds, forgetting about you, Lord, you're always working to pull us back to yourself. Help us to listen. Help us to obey. Help us to trust you, Lord, so that we don't get out there and turn away from you, Lord. We love you, Lord, and we're thankful that you're patient in helping us to learn how to love you and learning how to receive your love for us. Lord, we're reminded that your word says that you have loved us with an everlasting love. And we thank you, Lord, that you never give up on us. You didn't give up on us this week, Lord. And maybe we felt like giving up. Maybe we didn't have the strength. Maybe we didn't think we would make it through, but we're here. Oh, God, you brought us, you kept us, you've given us everything we need. And we say praise be to you, oh, God, because you're worthy of our praise. We thank you, Lord God. You're a great God, and you're so worthy of our praise. I thank you for our gathering here today. Lord, we don't take it for granted that we can gather here today in this place. Lord, many can't, some won't, oh, God, but we thank you that we can come together as your people, Lord, with one mind, one heart, one voice to worship you. So we praise you even for that, Lord. And I pray that you would help us to hear from you today. Help us to listen to your word, Lord. And use me, Lord God. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to the cross of Christ do I desire to cling, Lord. So we thank you and we love you and we give you the praise through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. 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 I want to say I appreciate all of you who have committed to taking part in our book bag or school supply drive. We have really until the end of August or so to gather. So whatever you can do, whatever you want to do, whatever the Lord lays on your heart to do, we appreciate you doing that. Come the end of August, a little bit before September, the last week of August, we want to make that delivery to Tallala School and be a blessing to them. So do be praying for that and pray for the people there. You know, even in this, we give thanks to the Lord and give glory to him to demonstrate that we do care about, you know, what's going on in the lives of kids and the lives of teachers and the lives of the school. So keep them in your prayer. Amen. 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 We are in a series on the person, the role, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Seems like it's something I forgot, but I'll remember. Maybe. You ever have one of those moments? Yeah, you have those moments where we forget. We forget. But anyway, we are in our series on the person, the role, and the power of the Holy Spirit in the believer's lives. But I did want to say thank you to Sister Banks. I know she'd probably get me after this, but I really don't care. But I thank her for sticking with me over the span of these 42 some odd years. Tomorrow is our anniversary, August 1st. So I always have to give her some kudos, you know, around this time, because she's stuck with me and I've stuck with her. You know, contrary to what it might look like, she's not perfect either. I know she looks like the perfect one, but we both have our flaws, and over 42 years, we've learned that, you know, that I've learned she's not against me, she's for me, and she's learned I'm not against her, and I'm for her, so that enables us to make it through the turbulent times, you know, because if you have the mindset that the person that you said I do to is against you, then you know, you're headed for trouble. But we've come through some times, and I thank the Lord for keeping us. Thank the Lord for her. She's been a blessing to me, and I've worked to be a blessing to her. And I have become her Hebrew slave over the years. But I'm thankful to be able to be that. You know, really, I'm thankful to be able to be that. So thank you. Thank you, my queen, for 42. I appreciate you. Amen. 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 Romans, we'd like to read today Romans chapter 8. And I'll review some things from last week, but I felt I needed to expound on it a little bit more. So if I sound redundant here from last week, then I am being that intentionally. So Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. We'll read verses 26 down through 28. And I know we're all familiar with 28, but 26, 27, 28, even 29 on down, we're probably not as familiar with it. But it's always important to get the context. So Romans 26, 8, 26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Amen. The Holy Spirit, our helper. The Holy Spirit, our helper. Our objective in going through this series and today in particularly is to live with the confidence. To live with confidence that the Holy Spirit does, in fact, help us. The Holy Spirit helps us. God helps us in every situation. God is our helper. He does help us. He is willing to help us. He wants to help us in every situation. I think sometimes we don't really believe that. We may not feel that, so it doesn't feel like he's helping us, but we want to live with the confidence day by day and situation by situation, whatever's going on in our lives, whatever event you're experiencing, and whatever your state of being, we want to live with the confidence that the Holy Spirit helps us. God helps us. We're his children, and he wants to help us. A couple of points for today. One, the Holy Spirit provides divine assistance in our journey through life. That's the overarching thought for today, is that the Holy Spirit, he provides divine assistance in our journey through life. We may get assistance from other people. We try to help other people while we try to help each other, but what we need to have in mind and keep in mind that in our spiritual journey, the Holy Spirit provides us with that divine assistance, divine what comes from God. That which has to do with God. He provides the divine assistance in our journey through life. Paul was writing the church in Rome, and he said, in the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. The Holy Spirit is always with us in the trenches of life. I need to say that I think what Paul was conveying to the church in Rome was that the Holy Spirit was always, he's with you. He's with you. He's always with us in life, wherever we are in life. He says, in the same way. Well, what does he mean by that? Well, he really looks back to the prior verses in chapter 8. In the same way that the Holy Spirit provides assistance for us to live the life purchased for us through Jesus Christ, because that's what he's talking about. He said in verse 1, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And the Holy Spirit comes along and he helps us to see that and experience that and to even feel that and to walk in that. In the same way that the Holy Spirit helps us to walk in step with himself and not in the ways of the world, to walk in step with the Spirit and not in the flesh. In the same way he does that, in the same way that the Holy Spirit helps us to have that yearning for what's ahead, for the life to come, the redemption of our body. The Holy Spirit helps us to get our minds and have our minds and hearts focused on these things. Paul says, in the same way, the Holy Spirit helps us. The Holy Spirit has helped us, he said, by setting us free from the power of sin. He said that in chapter 8. He helps us to walk in the power of the Spirit instead of being overtaken by the power of sin. The Holy Spirit helps us with that. He helps us by keeping alive the hope of the assured promise of being given our brand new bodies by the Spirit as he helps us to look ahead. And just as he helps us with these things, Paul says, so too does the Holy Spirit provide his divine assistance, he says, for our weakness. I wanted to reemphasize that help, that the Holy Spirit helps. And when he's helping us, it means life is not easy, right? But having the Holy Spirit helps us by offering us the services, his services and his resources to help us through those situations. It comes alongside of us. He comes, and we mentioned when he talks about him helping us, that word embedded in that word means that he's at our side, that he is here with us, that he comes, he shares in our experiences with us. It's God with us, God the Holy Spirit sharing with us and taking hold of us. And the eternal spirit takes hold of us, and he takes hold of our situations with us. He is in the trenches of life with us to supply the help that, again, exactly corresponds to the need of the moment. The Holy Spirit does not play guessing games with our lives. Being omniscient, he knows what we need, what's going on inside of us, and he is able to give us what we need, and he holds us up. You know, I'm just relishing on that truth and thinking about that reality. And I say, Lord, let that get a hold of me. Let it get a hold of us. That the Holy Spirit gets in it with us, and he gets into situations with us, and he holds us. Deuteronomy 33:27 says, the eternal God is a dwelling place. I mentioned this last week. The eternal God is our dwelling place. It's where we can go and where we can find our rest, where we can find our peace, and where we can find what we need. He is a dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Underneath are the everlasting arms, the arms of God holding us up when we can't hold ourselves up. Our life lesson here quickly is this: the Holy Spirit never leaves us hanging out on a limb. He never leaves us hanging out on a limb for dear life. You know, he doesn't. We may feel that way, but we want to have it just etched in our minds and hearts that the Holy Spirit, he never leaves you hanging out on a limb. Never. No matter what's going on. No matter if we feel that way. See, the enemy wants us to think more about how we feel. I'm feeling like I'm going to drown. I'm feeling like it's not going to work out. I'm feeling like I'm not going to make it. Well, the Spirit of God says, you're underneath the everlasting arms. I got you. I got you. And for whatever the reason, he ain't, and we'll talk about this a little later, we want the situation to move, to change. But God doesn't always do that, does he? The reality of life is he doesn't always change the situation. No, but he wants us to know that the Holy Spirit helps. Means he is with us there. He shares in it with us. I even believe embedded in that is that he is feeling what we're feeling some way, somehow. He is always with us to be the provider of what we need in the moment, whatever that moment might entail. He is the ever-present divine helper. Take special note again that he holds us up and he holds us together. He holds us together. Maybe you've had some experiences in your life where, man, you just lost it. Or you feel like you're just cracking up, right? Well, let's understand that the Holy Spirit helps us not to crack up, okay? He helps us. That's what it means to be the helper, the paraclete, the one who comes alongside of us and gets in it with us. He helps us not to crack up. So if you're cracking up, then, you know, it's something with this relationship here between you and the Lord. If we're losing it, it's something going on, not the circumstances. We blame the circumstances, but I would say the Lord doesn't want us cracking up. No, he wants us to experience the peace of Christ, to rest in him. God doesn't let go of us. We may let go of him. We may doubt, we may fear, but he never lets us go. And the world around us may fall apart. A lot of stuff going on in the world, right? It may fall apart. It looks like, man, what is the world coming to? Well, it's coming to the conclusion that the Lord has planned. It's coming to the conclusion that the Lord has planned. And part of that plan is us, his children, bringing us to his appointed end. The world may fall apart, but we don't have to. And let me give a word of admonishment, my brothers and sisters. We shouldn't. We shouldn't fall apart. We shouldn't. Why is that? Because we are held together under his everlasting arms. Under his everlasting arms. The Bible says here in 8:26 that the Holy Spirit helps our weakness. We talked about this last week. I wanted to expound on it a little bit more this week. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. And again, weakness refers to our incapacity. We don't have the capacity to do or experience something. Okay? That's what it means. We don't have the capacity within ourselves to do or to become or to experience something. See, weakness speaks to our spiritual limitations. We have limitations. We are limited spiritually. We're limited physically too. And the older we get, the more we learn that, right? We're limited. When you're young, you don't think so. When you're young, we're so full of ourselves. We got that youthful pride that we have the mind that we can conquer the world and nothing can hold us back. That's good to a degree under the control of the Holy Spirit, but to the extreme, we're just full of ourselves and we forget about God. But we are limited spiritually. We don't have the capacity in ourselves to experience the riches of the spiritual blessings that we've been given. We are limited. We can't experience what God has done in Christ. And we can't live the lives on this earth that he's given us to live apart from him without the Spirit's help. That's what Paul is making clear here. He said the Spirit helps us in our weakness. It is impossible for us to be transformed into the image of Christ without the Holy Spirit's help. You can't become who God wants you to become without the help of God. It's impossible. It's impossible to change from earthly way of thinking without the Holy Spirit's help. When we come into this Christian life, we come in with all kind of baggage. Our thinking is like we thought before Christ. Our worldview, the way we see things, our perspective of life is like it was apart from Christ. So when we come into the Christian life, there's some changing and rearranging that needs to be done. That does not happen without the help of the Holy Spirit. He helps us in our weakness. The Christian life is not about us doing all kind of good and becoming what God wants us to become without his help. It's not us pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps. No, it's about us understanding that the Holy Spirit gets in it with us and he helps us in those areas that we simply cannot help ourselves. No, we don't have that capacity to live out the spiritual blessings we've been given, even though the Bible informs us in Ephesians that we've already been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. You ever read that? The Bible says that God has given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Now, let me quickly throw in, he's not talking about material stuff. And too many people go that, well, God has given us every material. No, it's not talking about that. And I'm more convicted of this and the need to say this because I think we make the gospel something that's not the gospel. The gospel is God's provision for us in there materially. Yeah, it is, without a doubt. But the gospel is what God has done for us by way of Christ on the cross, him giving his life, dying for us, rising again, and us being able to come to him and repent for the forgiveness of our sins. And as we do that, God does things in us to transform us, conform us to the image of Christ. That's what we're looking at. That's what Paul was looking at here in Romans 8. So I don't want to water it down. I do not want to water it down, the gospel. No, this is about the spiritual things that God wants to do in our lives. Because if I'm walking in step with the Spirit and the Spirit is working in me, guess what? Those material things, I think they're going to work out. So we need to put first things first. We can't become who God has created us to become and do what he's created us to do and think like he's created us to think without the help of the Holy Spirit. You know, a newborn baby is fully human when it comes out, right? Nothing else needs to be added to it for it to be fully human. No, it has everything a full-grown person has. But the baby needs help, right? The baby needs help in order to grow up and to become. They have everything they need that makes a person, but babies are weak. We've all been there. Babies are weak. Babies need help getting nourishment. They can't get that on their own, right? No, babies need help getting cleaned up. When they make a mess, somebody got to clean it up. Babies need help learning right from wrong. Without help, they do not develop as they could nor should. Parents are the baby's helpers. They come alongside of them. They give them everything they need to provide the nourishment, the support, the training, the discipline for productive growth. Spiritually speaking, my brothers and sisters, children of God, we all have that same need. We're like that. We have available to us all that the Lord wants us to have. All that the Father has given us in Jesus Christ, he's already given it to us. But while writing to the church, again, in Ephesus, and thinking about this truth, it caused the Apostle Paul to break out in praise. You talk about praising the Lord. When Paul was thinking about all the spiritual blessings, he was writing to the church, all the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians 1, he said, praise be to God. Praise be to God, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. He couldn't help but praise God. He couldn't help but say hallelujah. As he thought about all this, he said, God's given us everything. He's given you everything. Ain't nothing lacking. Nothing's lacking. He understood that in Christ, the people of God have it all already. The redeemed of the Lord are not spiritually deficient in any sense of the word in terms of what is with us and in us already. It's just not worked out. Yet, because of our weakness, we don't experience, and we may not be growing up, we don't experience the wealth of the spiritual blessings given to us through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So like that baby, while the baby has it, it's fully human, it needs that it needs in order to grow up. We too are just like that. We have it. We've been given past tense We've already been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenly in Christ Jesus. We already have it. Well, what's wrong? Well, we're weak. We're weak. We have this weakness. Paul says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. Verse 26b. For we do not know how to pray as we should. Note in the text that our weakness is singular, right? You notice that? Sometimes we have to pay attention to singular, plural, present tense, past tense. Here, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, singular. He doesn't say weaknesses. Now, we can acknowledge we have weaknesses, right? Yeah, we do. But Paul is talking about a particular weakness here. What is it? We do not know how to pray as we should. Follow that? The weakness in the context is our inability to pray as we should. Praying here is simply making request of God. It's going before God and saying, God, I need this, I need that. God, I want this, I want that. God, do this, God, do that. Those are requests. It is going to the throne of grace and asking God to do something in light of the issue that is bringing us before his throne of grace. It's calling out to the God that we know is able to do more than we can ask or think. Making requests of him. But Paul says, we don't know how to do that. We have some praying people here, right? Some of you are praying people. We have some folk who have done some knee work over the years. I know that. I ain't there with you, but I know it. We have some praying folk up in here. We got some folk who do, who have done, and who still do, past tense and present tense, who still do some knee work. Most of us have prayed some type of prayer before the Lord, even as now I lay me down to sleep. We prayed some type of prayer before the Lord. Jesus himself said that we should always pray and not give up. Jesus said that. Prayer is a staple of the believer's life. Prayer is necessary to develop and maintain that vibrant personal relationship with our Lord. It's absolutely necessary. And I just want to throw in, if you ain't praying, get to it. Get to it. Jesus said it's an imperative. An imperative, it's a command. It's something that we must do. But there are some things, and there are some things that won't happen in our lives until and unless we pray. Why then, Paul's statement that our weakness is that we don't know how to pray as we should? Well, one thing quickly, and I'll run on quickly here. One reason is that we pray to God as we see the surrounding circumstances. According to what we want to happen. We look, we see with our eyes, and we see what's going on. And so we pray according to what we see only through our physical, human thinking. Lord, I pray that you will heal this person. We pray that, right? How should we pray before the Father when certain problems arise in our lives and that of others? How should we pray? We prayed in these circumstances, right? Father, I pray that you will deliver my cousin from his addiction to whatever it is. Surely, I say, in these situations, we pray for help from God, who is the deliverer. We do this because we know that he is able, right? We have that in our minds. God is able, and we should. If we don't have it in our minds, then Lord, help us to get that in our heads that God is able. God is able. He is able. But is this all that we should pray? We know that we can, and we know that we should pray. When faced with the troubles of this life, we know that. But how exactly should we pray? And we also know that the Father hears the cries of his children. We know that too, right? But I ask, does he want to deliver like we want him to deliver? Does he want to do the things that we see need to be done or that we want done? We don't always know that, if we were honest. We don't always know that. Could God be up to something else in our lives beyond what we can see? And I think that's what Paul is getting to, is that, yeah, he's not saying we don't pray or we don't know how to pray all the time, but he's saying there's some things that God wants to do that we don't know how to go before the Father and get those prayers through so that they're definitely done in our lives. We don't know how to pray as we should. Praying as we should means praying what we need to pray to actuate, to put into motion the will of God in our lives. It's praying as we should, as we need to pray, to actuate the will of God in our lives. Knowing that we should pray is one thing. Knowing how or what to pray as we should is another thing. We should always pray and not give up. As we mentioned before, that's an imperative from Jesus. That's something we should do. It's a necessity for us to pray, that we have a lifestyle of prayer. Maybe you've been faced with a situation where your thought has been, Lord, I don't know how to pray about this. I don't know how or what I should pray. Have you ever been there? Man, you can see it. You can feel it. It's coming down on you, but lost for words. How do I pray to you, to the one who already knows everything about the situation anyway? See, when we think like this, our lives bear out Paul's message. And that message is this, that we are limited. And I think if we can let ourselves go here and accept the fact that we're limited, I think we're on our way to experiencing more of what God wants to do in us. When we think like this, our lives bear out Paul's message that we are limited in our knowledge of the Father's will, and we're limited in the intricate, unseen details of a person or a situation, those things for which we pray. We're limited. You don't know everything that's going on in a person's mind or heart that you're praying for, do you? And you don't know everything that's going on, even with husband and wife. You don't know everything that's going on in their minds and hearts. We think we do. You've been living together for many years. You think you know. I know that. No, we still don't know everything that's going on inside. But listen, we're given this magnificent truth. The omniscient Holy Spirit knows. He knows. And that's what Paul wants to make sure. He says, we don't know how to pray as we should. And he included himself. Paul said, we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. We don't know, but praise the Lord, the Holy Spirit knows. The Holy Spirit knows. The Holy Spirit goes before the Father. He said, Paul talks about him interceding. He intercedes for us. The Holy Spirit goes before the Father in our behalf with perfect knowledge and perfect understanding of the Father's will and intercedes in a way that exactly corresponds to the need. See, we go back and reflect on the fact that we're dealing with the omniscient Holy Spirit, the one who knows everything, the one who knows the inside, the outside, the upside down, everything about us. All the stuff we try to hide from other people, the Holy Spirit sees it. He knows it. Says the Holy Spirit himself intercedes. He presents our case before the Father. And this word, someone said it like this in regards to the original word, that it refers to the Holy Spirit interceding in every scene of our lives so that we can come in line with the Lord's eternal purpose. So he's in it, as we've said before, in everything. Don't leave out anything. Don't leave out any area of your life. Don't leave out anything that's going on in your life or in the lives of others. Don't put God in a box. Don't think that God isn't concerned about this little area here, because he is. In every scene, in every part of our lives, the Holy Spirit intercedes. He goes before the Father so that we can come in line with the Lord's eternal purpose for us. Paul says he does this with groanings too deep for words. Now, people have said all kinds of stuff about this, but let my simple mind make it simple. The Holy Spirit communicates with the Father in a manner which is inexpressible with mere human language. That's the fundamental meaning of it. It says, with groans too deep for words, it's inexpressible. It can't be communicated in human language. The content of these intercessory meetings, and that's what I think about. You know, you've had intercessory prayer meetings, where you go in and you pray for somebody. Well, we have this intercessory prayer meeting, if you will, that's taking place between the Holy Spirit and the Father. And in these meetings that they have about us, it goes beyond human language. And it includes those, whatever, sacred mysteries that Paul is talking about there that have to do with our daily walk. Now, I want to say this real quickly, interject this. This does not refer to us speaking in tongues. It's not talking about that. You will hear that, though. I don't believe that it's saying that. It says nothing about us. This is about what the Holy Spirit does, right? It says the Holy Spirit intercedes. The Holy Spirit speaking to the Father. Paul is talking about the holy convocation that's convened within the Godhead. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and even down, and I'm running ahead, even down in verse 34, I believe it is, it says Jesus intercedes for us as well. Man, you can't read chapter 8 and walk away not feeling like, man, God has given me so much support. You've got the Holy Spirit praying for you. We have Jesus praying for us. We can't lose. Not unless you just don't believe what the Lord is saying. No, our life lesson is this, that the Holy Spirit is able to communicate the what should be prayed. Now, I put it without getting caught up on with groans, and we can walk away with, okay, some communication, some conversation that's going on between the Holy Spirit and the Father that Paul says is inexpressible. We can't put it into words. He doesn't expound on it, so I'm not going to try to read into it and make it something that it's not. But what we need to walk away with is that the Holy Spirit is able to communicate the what should be prayed that is impossible for us to do. We can't talk to the Father like this. We can't communicate to the Father in detail like the Holy Spirit can. He speaks with our Holy Father with these inexpressible groanings. They're not explained in the text, but I found it interesting that in verse 22 of chapter 8, it speaks of the whole creation groaning as it waits for the redemption of the sons of God, when we and the creation will be set free from decay. Same word that is talking about the Holy Spirit groaning is talking about the whole creation groaning. It's sitting on the edge of its seat, waiting for what? Waiting for the day of redemption, for the sons of God to be revealed, for us to get our brand new bodies and transformed. It mentions the same word in verse 23. Speaks of we ourselves groaning as we longingly wait for the redemption of our bodies. And then here in verse 26, as someone has stated, Paul's thoughts reach a crescendo. Gets that high note, you know? Reaches the peak as he speaks of the Holy Spirit groaning in intercession for the Father. Creation's groaning. We're groaning. But the Holy Spirit is groaning for us, for you, and for me. And this groaning is not explained, but the fact is simply proclaimed that the Spirit, that it is a spiritual groaning, a sighing, my friends, a communication that goes out from the Holy Spirit before the Father in our behalf that longs for the Father's will to be done. That's what the Holy Spirit is interceding about. That's what Jesus is interceding about, that the Father's will be done in our lives. And then in verse 27, and it says, and he who searches our hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to God, or according to the will of God. The one who searches our heart is talking about Father God. Father God searches our hearts, and the Holy Spirit intercedes according to the will of the Father. The Father and the Holy Spirit, I think of it as a collaboration that's taking place. You know, out there in the world of work and whatnot, you talk about it, even here in the church, you talk about people collaborating, people coming together, coming of the same mind and same heart, because you have a goal out in front of you, right? Well, guess what? God has a goal for you. He has a goal for me. And they, the Spirit of God and Father God, they're collaborating about what's going on in our lives. The Spirit is with you. He sees it. He feels it. He's in the trenches with you. And what they're doing is they're working together to bring about the Father's will in us. The Father searches the hearts of his people. You can hide. I can hide from you, but I can't hide from Father God. You can't hide from the Spirit of God. The Father searches our hearts. He investigates the issues of our hearts that cannot be put into words. Our words. He knows what's going on. And the Holy Spirit, again, intercedes for the Father's will to be done in your life. Now, we may not be able to put it into words, the exact need of the moment. When you're going through stuff or people are going through things, we can't, as I stated, we can't always put it into words, can we? We don't know what to say. There have been times, so many times, when I haven't known what to pray or how to pray. Well, working through this and the Spirit's work, I say praise the Lord. And when that happens again, this is what I'm going to be thinking. Praise you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that I know, Lord, I can't put it into words, but I know you are. I know you're putting it into words before the Father, according to what the Father wants to do in my life or in the life of the one that for whom I'm praying. It's all right if you can't put it into words. Just get on your face, get on your knees and moan and groan because God is hearing you. He's able to put it into words. Because the Father knows the mind of the Spirit. And he knows, the Spirit knows what's going on inside of us. And the Father knows what's going inside of us. We can't probe the minds and hearts of people and, again, know exactly what's going on inside of them. We can't do that. But Father God, he knows. And we see that something is going on that's not quite right. You got anybody in your life like that now? You see, something is not quite right. You got something going on in your life right now. This is not quite right. But we can't verbalize it. But the Holy Spirit can. Those groanings, he's groaning for you and groaning for me and groaning for the people for whom we're praying. And we may struggle. We don't know what's going on. Why am I still here in my thinking? Lord, why is this still in my life? Why can't I conquer this habit or this attitude, Lord? Why is all this friction in my heart and mind? Why are you so downcast, my soul, the psalmist says. And we have our struggles, and they threaten to keep us from living victoriously in Christ, and we just can't seem to move forward. We just don't know how to pray. You may be frustrated, we may be confused, we may be struggling, but God never is. And see, when we depend on him, when we go before him with humble, sincere hearts, and we say, and I was reminded when Jesus taught the disciples how to pray, he said, pray, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. And Jesus in the garden, not my will, Father, but your will be done. When we go to him in that way, he works in our behalf for his glory to bring about in our lives what he wants to happen and what he knows is best. Lord, I don't want my best. I see it this way, Lord, but I want what you want. I want your best, Lord, so I yield what my will is to what your will is. I know the Holy Spirit is interceding for me. I know Jesus is going before you because I know he's doing something greater than the circumstances. I know it's something going on inside of us, inside of me, that he wants to deal with to take me closer to being like Christ. Do you want what's best for your life? See, I think sometimes we settle for the good instead of reaching for the best. The excellence. We ought to want the excellence from God. We ought to want what God wants for us because he knows better, right? Father knows best. We ought to want that. Well, we go in prayer and we say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. You want what's best for your life? Submit to what he wants. Do you want to soar to heights that God is able to take you? Then submit to his will and not your will. And trust that the Holy Spirit is working. Even when the circumstances aren't working out like we want them to work out, we still have to trust that the Spirit of God is interceding for us. And he's going before if the Father's will is being done and worked out. If we want it to be done and worked out. We have to trust that. David believed and understood these things about God. In Psalm 139 and verses 1 through 7, David talked about, Lord, where can I go? Where can I flee from your presence? Lord, you know my thoughts even before I think them. You know them. You know what's going on. You know me from the inside out. And you're always with me. David understood what we need and to believe and understand, that the eternal, omniscient, loving Holy Spirit, that he knew everything about him and that he was with him. He knew the good, the bad, and the ugly. And yet he said, you are here with me. You're with me. The pit that I find myself in right now is not too deep for you to occupy with me. David said, I know you're with me. I'm in a deep, dark place, but I know the Spirit of God is with me. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are even there. God, you're doing something in this dark place. You're with me. The things that I think about that I don't want anyone else to know about, you know them even before I think them. Lord, your will be done. In spite of my ugliness, in spite of my evil thoughts, you are here with me because you are here to help me. The Holy Spirit is here to help us, to help us. Help us to experience forgiveness, to cleanse us, and to love on us, and to help us to change. Let me say a few concluding thoughts and get out of your way. Reiteration of some of the things that I said, but just some walk out of the door stuff. Remember, my friends, that the Holy Spirit is always with us. He is the eternal, omniscient God. God the Holy Spirit, always with you. He's always for us. Remember, he's always for you. If you're a child of God, God is never going to be against you. He's always for you. And he longs to see the will of the Father done in our lives. That's what Paul was saying in Romans 8. He intercedes for the saints. The saints are the people of God, those who have repented and accepted the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Those are the saints. Those are the holy ones. Those are the ones who have been set apart. And if that's you, listen, God takes responsibility for you. He is with you. He's not against you. This Holy Spirit intercedes for your good. He's present with us, and he enters into those struggles, understanding the pain and frustration and weakness of our lives. When you feel alone, think on the truth. God is with me. God is with me. Think on this too. The Holy Spirit uses everything in our lives for our good to fulfill God's purpose. He uses everything in our lives for our good to fulfill the Father's purpose. Romans 8:28, we read that. And we know, and many of us may know about how, right? We know that in all things God works together for the good of those who love him or are loved by him and those who are the called according to his purpose, right? Romans 8:28 highlights the fact that God works in all circumstances in our lives. And he works all of those circumstances some way, somehow. You know, the master craftsman, putting it all together. He takes the good, the bad, and the ugly. We must take this verse, though, in context with verses 26 and 27. Don't disconnect them. And according to verse 28, God takes whatever is going on in our lives, and the Holy Spirit is interceding in the midst of what's going on in our lives. And he's working it for our good, for his glory. Don't disconnect them. Holy Spirit interceding. Holy Spirit with us. Going before the Father. Knowing what's going on. Knowing what the Father wants. Father, this is what's going on in Jack's life. And you said this is what needs to be done, Father. According to verse 28, God takes whatever is going on in our lives and uses it to bring about his will. And his will is about what he's destined us to become. Not material blessings. The eternal blessings of being conformed to the image of Jesus, being justified and glorified because of Christ. That's what he's doing. When you're having a difficult time, remember that the Holy Spirit is interceding for you to transform you. Don't quit. Don't listen to the voice of discouragement. listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and remember that God is doing something in you and he'll work out the circumstances. Remember that he's working to transform your life. That's what he's doing. If that ain't happening, something is wrong. Something is wrong with the way you're seeing God, or as Peter said, you need to check yourself to see if you're in the faith. The other thing I want us to remember is this, that remember that while our prayers may seem inadequate and we don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit knows how to pray. He knows how to pray to actuate the will of the Father in our behalf. Pray we must. We must keep praying. But let us pray with the awareness that the Holy Spirit helps us as he intercedes for us. We may pray for the circumstances to change, but the Holy Spirit intercedes for the will of the Father so that we are changed, so that we are changed into the image of Christ Jesus, our Lord. If circumstances aren't changing, don't get mad at God. Take a look at yourself because he's looking. You can have the strength you need in every situation if you will consciously lean on the everlasting arms. He holds us up. We can always have what we always need if we always lean on his everlasting arms. He never gets tired. We do, but he doesn't. He holds us in his arms. When we are weak, then we find strength in his everlasting arms. You can have exactly what you need in every situation if you lean on the prayers of the one who knows all about you. Isn't it great to have somebody that you know can get a prayer through? When we talk about people being able to get a prayer through, the Holy Spirit can get a prayer through. He prays for you. But remember, he knows what you need, and his prayers always get through. He's supporting us in his intercession, but he's doing something inside of us. And remember this, and I'm finished. Remember, and I love it, if God is for us, who can be against us? Isn't that a great, in Romans 8, I got that. Remember it. Put it in your head. Read it when you get home. Make that your one verse that you read this week. Romans 8, 31 and 32. Paul was writing and he said, what? He's writing about these things and he gets excited and he says, man, what then shall I say to all these things? If God is for us, who or what can be against us? That's got to be our mindset, my brothers and sisters. If God is for you, if the Spirit of God is with you, if he's interceding for you and Jesus is interceding for you, then who or what can be against us? He, verse 32. Don't leave out verse 32. Because he who did not spare his own son, the death of Christ, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely or graciously give us all things? What a God. What a promise. What a promise from our great God. Won't you pray with me? Father God, we're so thankful today. Lord, we're thankful for your truth. Lord, I'm trusting, confident that you're able to take my mumblings, Lord God, and untangle them in our minds and in our hearts. You're able, Holy Spirit, to help us to hear the truth, hear what we need to hear in these moments in our lives. Lord, everyone here has something or will have something going on. Lord, I pray that we would look at our circumstances, look at ourselves from the perspective of truth, and from the perspective that the Holy Spirit is interceding in our behalf for your glory. Lord, help us change our thinking in this where it needs to change. Help us, Lord, from being indifferent to these things thinking that it doesn't make a difference. It makes such a difference to know that you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that you are engaged, involved in our lives, knowing what we need and making sure that we have what we need. Help us to come to you, Lord. Help us, Lord, not to allow the circumstances of our lives to keep us from seeking your face. Help us, Lord, to trust you no matter how we feel, no matter what we might be hearing, the pushback that we might hear in our minds. Lord, no matter, help us to come to you with trusting hearts, knowing that you love us, knowing that there is nothing and no one that can stand against us since you are for us. What a great God you are. And Lord, we greatly praise you today. And Father, I pray for one who may not know you as Lord and Savior. Someone may have been going to church for many years, but has not repented and said, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins and rose again. And I repent of living my own way. And I accept your forgiveness. Maybe there's someone who is without a church family. Father, may that one come and submit him or herself under the ark of your church and say, I want to be a part of the Agape Fellowship or some fellowship. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we love you. And Lord, we give you the praise through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Maybe you're here today and you made a decision. You made a decision to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. You repent. Accepting Christ means you repent. And repent means you have a change of mind. You turn. You go a different way that you were going before. You have a change of thinking about God, thinking about your life. You realize that you're a sinner and you need to repent of that sin. It's not about doing good works. We can't do good enough to make ourselves right with God. It's not about going to church. You can go to church all your life and still not know Jesus as Lord and Savior. It's about repenting for the forgiveness of sin. If you made that decision today, won't you take that step of faith and say, I give my life to Christ. I accept him as Lord and Savior of my life. Maybe you're without a church family. And you can make the Agape Fellowship your church family. If you make that decision, you can come. You can come, take that step of faith. Or you can send me an email at tbanks4323@gmail.com. tbanks4323@gmail.com. Amen. 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 Grace be to all of you. Let us stand for the benediction. Romans 15:13 says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. To our great God, our great Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power. Let the Church of Jesus Christ together sing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Yes, ma'am. What'd I do, Sister Karen?